There are two different schedules for next week. Tuesday, which of course you know, Thursday. Thursday at 1. And then at 2:30 and at 3, and the spirits again.
Huh?
2:30 and 3, and the spirits again. The one, but the one on Thursday, they might need you because
the 12th?
The 12th, the husband is coming at 1 and the wife's coming at 2:30.
So what time is that?
1 o'clock.
12?
Yes. And then his wife's coming at 2:30. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. But tell me something. Were you in school on traffic?
No, I was in school.
Did you hear it all about the pleasure he was in front of the market check?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wonder if
you weren't there.
From anybody?
You weren't? No.
Very happy with his trophy. He's publicized.
Uniform. Everybody was with yellow user.
It was
in there, so who's going to stop in there? So, outstraining
the sun. Yeah, so the, I'm going to show this to the young ladies. They got it on the cameras. Going crazy.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is the silence of the most of them were flooded there, almost all of them at that demonstration was flooded.
And they can't be Hasidic.
Then Shabbos, Zev Kohn gave a Dorsha about this.
What? There's another Rabbon spoke about.
Well, well prepared, that was very well prepared about, not to have this Machlekes, he loves this card, alright, I told him it was a welfare, but I said you missed one point. And I said, and the point is, and I gave an illustration from history, a different venue. I said, you missed one point. Those that did all of this so-called spitting or expo, whatever you want to call it, what yeshivas do they go to? Who are their rabbeim? Why can't you point a finger at the Bayim that if they sit in their room, they would get this type of attitude? You know, in Musa, there's a pasuk, Shreyas, I used to quote, Meshul Makshiv of Vashekar, call Meshos of Meshoyim. So what is the, how did Bali Musa learn? Why are called Meshos of Meshoyim? Because he's a Meshul Makshiv of Vashekar. As often, he's teaching something in the classrooms that although he doesn't say go out and beat them up, but incites them. So I gave a historical example from the Franco-Prussian War. Now, the Franco-Prussian War was a war where really Germany, Prussia under Bismarck, came a power. They united all the states. You know, they got the Kaiser. They had a the most powerful continental power in Europe. So this was in 1871, and the Prussians, after beating the Austrians in 1866, went in and invaded France. They besieged Paris, and the French were starving. They were surrounded, and they surrendered. They gave up Alsace-Lorraine at that time, and Bismarck got a huge indemnity out of the French. He says, the only thing I'm going to leave you with is your eyes with which to cry. That's why I had to go. But someone made a remark, I don't know whether it was Bismarck or somebody else, said, why were the Prussians so victorious? Why were their army so aggressive? And the French seemed to, although they had a great military history from the time of Napoleon and everything else, he said, because the classrooms of Prussia, they won the war. They taught them how to...
You know,
that's what it is.
After the assassination of Rabin.
Yeah,
right. Here, spoke to the
right.
And as he talked, he said, what have we taught our kids?
That's the point.
He said, we have to see how we could have raised within our community...
An assassin.
Right. So it's exactly what he
said. Well, this is what it is. I said to Colin, I said, this is a point that has to be pointed out. I said, what yeshiva engendered this type of thing to go out with contempt and spit on people and do
even
things.
More, bigger question. Where is any, where are they Russian yeshiva? Where
That's the story. In fact, I understand when the RCA and the OU came together to make a joint state, they tried to get the Aguda involved, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, Aguda was not...
That's what I was told. I was told somebody from...
I read
why couldn't the Aguda also come out, even individually come out with a statement? You don't want to be Mishtatavzayim, Pastor Chalila, Nidatiyanistin or so?
The point is, there was something missed over here. And those administering had a right to protest, because it is correct that because of human blame, if one person spits, that they're tarring all the Haredim.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that
is,
have a right.
There is a
because that brings that type of.
But the way they did, you know, they had signs. They wanted an international force to come and protect the Haredim from the Zionists. Signs, a Jew is not a Zionist, and a Zionist is not a Jew. That I've seen before. In Meir Shalom, I saw such signs.
What did they do with that?
They kicked that?
They kicked that.
Listen, they haven't recognized the state of Israel yet. I mean, that's a difference.
I don't know. Why would we give them water?
That's funny. They get
why
a lot
we
of
give them water? Why do we give them electricity? Why do we give them garbage disposal? Why are we giving all these things when they don't respect the state?
These sound like Israel. That's
what we are.
That's exactly right.
And get our act together.
The Haredim would say, Jews doing things that provide electricity on Shabbos, but then I could understand.
I heard about that.
It's very good. It's very, very professional. All the general use. All the jump, but also all the Israelis. I'm really up to date within minutes when something happens. Really, they are Ruth Sheva. They're so political, you can tell by the article. Today, Ruth Sheva has an article that one of the Palestinian leaders in Gaza said the reason that they have to resort to violence because the Jews all left Gaza. If the Jews were still there, then they could have peaceful protests. I read it twice. The absence of Jews means they have
That's your legacy. That's the idea. I have nobody to hate. I got to.
That's a Muslim mind.
And it's in Europe. It's a place where there are no Jews. They have
that. That's right. And how can I be an anti-Semite? There's no Jews.
I cannot be if people protest because who am I going to protest? Right. They're all gone.
Yeah. it's a bitter guilt. The whole thing is.
That's why Mashiach is
well.
Okay. I think this is it for today.
Well, you came, so we have to do something about it. Next week we're not going to have a shear. Of course, I'm undergoing some sort of a surgical procedure on my hand. See, that finger is a... If I try to pull it out, I'll go right through the ceiling. It's what they call a trigger finger situation where it comes from.
You carry a revolver.
Yeah, well, this guy generally said, my military escort in the morning says, this is a trigger finger.
Yes.
But they still have pamphlets they say they use, but anyhow. So there's a specialist doctor that I was referred to. Because I wake up, or even during the day, it doesn't straight, like right now. This is good. Other times it's like that. It doesn't. So there's a way of getting in here, it's an inflamed tendon, and they straighten it out. It's an outpatient procedure. But I have to wear a sling for a couple of days, you know. So I'm just telling you that. A tendon is held like this, I don't want anybody to touch me and cut me.
Who's the expert?
There's a fellow, Dr. Michael Jablon. He's a very nice
doctor.
Yeah, that's right. He's a very, very nice, a Yiddish type man, just came from us. He has his office across the street. He's with the Illinois Bone Institute. Whole Foods. You know where it's on Peterson?
Yeah.
Across the street there's a building.
Yeah,
the same ones that manage the building when we had
a on Peterson.
Yeah, yeah. So he's over there.
They own all the offices, though. They bought up Wiley's house.
Yeah. During the past year, the history of this, I went to see him when it first started. And who recommended me to go to him? Like Phil Zarek, who's a close friend of mine. He says he only does hands. Only hands.
Both hands?
No.
I go to doctor. I had a problem with the heel. I go to his bone I want to see Dr. Hill and go, what is your problem? Oh, he doesn't do feet. So I asked him, well, I got to give you the other doctor. I said, does he do right feet? And I'm under 5'8". I mean...
Anyhow, I went to him last January. So he said, we start off this way, maybe a shot of cortisone.
Yeah.
And it helped for 3 months. Nothing happened. Later on, he said, it's liable to come back. So we can go up to 3 times. If we go 3 times, then... So I went through the 3-time procedure over this past year.
That's not a lot of cortisone shot either.
Oh, no, he does it right. So it sticks a while. Then it's a garnish, I mean. So then...
Is that the nail? Public nail?
Rheumatism.
Well, this is a really extension of some type of arthritis.
But
it's a swollen. It is. And a picture of it. He took X-rays of it and so forth. But that's that. But he corrects these things. Yeah, his operations. Both doctors that I've seen, I mentioned his name. They say he is an expert. He's very successful in this area.
Okay.
I'm just mentioning the Zolan Dachman Lutzman book. I'm just telling you this.
Your left hand?
You know. What? Yeah, my left hand. Yeah.
That's where you put
it? Well, Phil and I discussed that. He said, well, you put the film on the band. I said, no. He said, doctor, you do your operation. I'll take care of that.
The taco
what?
The
main thing about tefillin is, and it's one of the Puskin, is the kesher here and on the forearm. There's all my flake is whether this is ma'akib or not. But many say it doesn't. I mean, you go up to the wrist.
You
can
always
say you didn't have it there. It doesn't go into that. That's a shame. I'm loving it. You know, we're talking about the Ika Nitzra and so forth. Don't get into these mices.
We're
so,
very tight.
What?
We're tight.
Yeah, Rabbi once said it very well at a convention years ago, the senior one. Who are these charedim, the trembling Jews? Trembling Jews of America. All right. I wonder if anybody was listening. Yeah,
It's a strange time.
Even publicizing my procedure. Well, we're starting here on an Indian, which we started to talk about film, a few should be before Hanukkah. Last week, this year I had prepared for Hanukkah last Wednesday. The reason why I canceled it, because I had that open appointment to see this doctor. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to see him because of his schedule. That's why I canceled out, because as they say, I ain't hot. So anyhow, so that's in Yirtzeh Hashem Chazon L'Moed. That year I'll give a future Hanukkah. Yeah, I have it in my notebook. Now here, this is on the Indian of the Hemshah having to do with Tefillin and Hidur Mitzvah. We'll see certain interesting kashas that brought up Achreinim about Tefillin in regard to Hidur Mitzvah. So where's one of the great Mikaelis dealing with the Dean of Hidur Mitzvah? What? So take a look here. You have the Gemara, Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis and Shabbos. That's sheet number one. Now, what's the context of this Gemara is from Peir Kebeleza, the Mila, where someone does Mila, the Mila, and there's something known as Tzitzin HaMa'akvin Es HaMila and Tzitzin She'en HaMakvin Es HaMila. He does the Mila, but there seems to be some strips of flesh that are not complete there, so it would not be a complete, that's Makiv the Dean, that it's a mole. When he cuts, he didn't cut it properly, and there's some strips that have to be done. So the Gemara, in the context of the Gemara, says, first of all, Mila is Be'er Shabbos. So if it's Tzitzim HaMa'akvin Es HaMila, it's called Man Shalom. So first, there are different statements. It depends on Gisot, but we're not going to focus so much on that. That calls Man is Isaac in the Mitzvah of Mila, he hasn't withdrawn his hand, so even if it's Shabbos, he can cut that the Tzitzim HaMa'akvin Es HaMila. And then it goes further and says, even Piresh, even if he stopped, but if it's a tzitz as ma'akir as a mila, it means that the mila wasn't done proper, so he's still under the dean of a heter of Shabbos. He can do that. What about tzitzim she'en ma'akir as a mila? So there's difference coming out of this Gemara from the Rishonim, is that if it's a tzitz she'en ma'akir as a mila, calls man the Rambam Paksa, calls man she'en of Piresh, he's still doing it. He still didn't take his hand away. I'm finished with the Mila. Although it's Shabbos, he can finish those cutting, although it's not Ma'akim, it's Amila. So I'm just giving the background. What's the basis for teaching Ma'akim? What is the teaching? What does it make the Mila better? If it's good even without it, why do you have to, what's so great about it? So the Gemara brings in, has to do with Ze Keli V'Anveil. It's a Hidur Mitzvah. And look what it says. Yeah, because first he brought a case about Pesah, but where I have it underlined. Alohocha, the Be'inan, Zeh Kele V'Anzeu, means by Mila, Hokinami. This is what you have to do. And because the Rashi even uses the terminology, I have it underlined. But he says, when he's comparing to where you don't need Zekele Banveil by a dean of the Korban Pesach when they have to skin it in a certain way and it looks demeaning, if they skin it in the normal way, you do it another way, but it's not a dean in Zekele Banveil as compared. Ya'achan Atilus Emurin, once they take out the dean Murin, which are brought on the Mizbeah, Ein Hidur Mitzvah, the Yifur Basa. To make sure that it's proper, that's a mitzvah. So what is the marker of this deen of Hidur Mitzvah? It's taken out of what we say in the Shira. Zeh Keli Banveil. Yisnor Lufonov B'mitzvah Asay. B'mitzvah. Asay Lufonov Sukkah Noah, Lulav Noah, Shefer Noah, Tzitzis Noah, Sefer Teva Noah, Uksiba Lishmo, which is seems to be why they bring that in, writing it Lishmo, is that either mitzvah or not? That Bidyo Noeb, there it sounds like either mitzvah, with the beautiful ink, the proper type of ink, and also Bikumis Noah, with a nice type of pen, whatever you're going to use, the Lavra Uman. the Sefer Zalzeh should be a Numen. The Korcho B'Shirayim Noim. And you wrap the Sefer Torah in beautiful silks, you know, it covers all. So that's the deen of Hidu Mitzvah. Now, he has described a lot of mitzvahs over here. About going from Sukkah, Tzitzit, Lulav, Sefer Torah, how do you write it, and so forth. So the question is asked, well, my friend, what happened to film? You would think that he would be, you talk about Tzitzit, and you talk about the mitzvahs that are frequent and all. What about Tefillin? Why don't we have a statement here in the Gemara under this listing? Now, I found in the Sefer of Shlema Akeinu Vilna, the Binyan Shlema, who I quoted before. So actually, he brings from a Rav that was in a suburb of Vilna there, respect the Kasha. He's asking that Kasha, why doesn't it say Tefillin Noim? Why don't I say that? You know, the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Hush. Why don't we say that? That's his basic question. So he comes and he makes a rule, and his rule is, as you tell you that beforehand, that's the main theme of his whole shiur on it, and in Simon there in his Binyan Shlema over there, it's Simon Vav, and Hilfer's Tefillin in that Sefer, his rule is that when you talk about something that has this splendor, or either mitzvah, it has to be seen. Something that is seen. In Tefillin, there you can't say in the plural Tefillin Noim. What one is seen? Tefillin Shel Reish. But not the Tefillin Shel Yad. In fact, just the opposite. There's a lot of different machlekes too, but basically it's covered up. It's mechusa. So it's not going to say Tefillin Noim. He's going to bring Raya, but that's his basic principle. Now, for the point he's making is that in order to say Hidu Mitzvah, you have to have a display, or you have to be able to be seen properly all the time. So wherever it applies, that's where it's going to be. And those that was listening there, but still annoying, would not fit in. So that's the point that he makes. And he brings one of the Raish that we try to display the splendor of a mitzvah or the particular thing that we have in amongst the mitzvahs. It brings a Gemara in Yuma. And you see how Rashi even says there. So it brings a good Rashi to say that. Now remember in the Aveda of Yom Kippurim, after basically the Kohen Gadol has finished the whole Aveda, at the end there's a Kriya Sateo. He lands there like it's described here on Daf Ayin on an Aleph based on the Mishnah. He's Goel the Sefer Torah. He reads from Parshas Achrei. Then he jumps to Emor. And there's a whole discussion whether Goel being Sefer Torah Berabim and so forth and so on. Take out another thing. So that the end is, after he does that, you see where I have it underlined. If the Kohen Gadol makes his Tefillah. It says, Tana Rabbanu. Take a look there where it says, V'shar HaTefillah, Zina, Tchina, Bakosha, Milfanecha. This is actually printed in the Maghrebet. Al Amcha Yisrael, Shetzichin, Lihivoshea, V'chesim, B'shamea, Tefillah. The Achakach, now here's the point. For Echa, the Echa, maybe there are other people that were there, though. It was crowded with all kinds of people. Well, ever the ever maybe say for Torah mi beso, the kerebo today laharos chazusa l'rabi. He brings the sefer now. Where are they bringing it from? Take a look in the Rashi. The Rashi says there laharos chazusa l'rabi. So look at Rashi, and this is what the Shlomo Levilner is pointing out. Laharos nuyay shall say for Torah. That's the hidur. The Tiferes Balera Shetorach Lisnoris Benitra. Shenema Ze Keli Vyadveu. Isnor Lafona Benitros. Lulavnor, Sefer Torah Nor, Tlapnor, Yudyonor, Belavla Woman, So when did he bring the Sefer Torah? We're in the Migdash here. Mi'erev Yom Kippurim Hevi'im Sham. They brought their Sefer Torah there. They must have put it in a certain place, whatever it was, but they did it. But this is a display, public display. Their Keli V'Aveo means there has to be a public display. So it's a very strong ayah, the way Rashi has described this whole, what's this thing, Laharos Kazusa L'Rabi? I mean, it's part of the Hidu Mitzvah. This is the Hidu Mitzvah of this whole Indian, what was taking place here with this Zia Satera. So let's get back, however, to Tfilin. We're not through with that. And to point out the difference between the Tfilin Shel Reish and the Tfilin Shel Yad, here, he mentions here, after bringing that Raya from the Gemara and from the Yuma and from Rashi, he brings a Mechilta. Now the Mechilta is, of course, on Zeh Keli V'Anveil. And Pasha B'Shalach, you know, and Shmos has the Mechilta. It's basically a Nevish Halacha, but of course other things. So he writes here just his phrase, Erechem Rishim and Mechilta B'Pasha B'Shalach, Shehagirsa Sham Be'emes Tfila No'or. Zeh Keli V'Anveil is not upon the Mitzvah. Tefillah, no, tefillah means one of the tefillahs. Like the Mishnah says in the Nochas, tefillah shel yad or tefillah shel rosh. One is not ma'akev the other. So he says, tefillah noeh, the nearer shavot zalema, tefillah shel rosh. Why do you only mention one? There's a much of this, but this one you can see. That's the raya. The kachom is feeling the lashon, that's why he's saying that. The lashon yochid. The chenu loshen amishnah, mishnah melachah, tefillah shel reish, and the mekaveh, a ma'akeveh shel yad, the sefer there, that brings a sefer that is a perush on the mechilta that emphasizes, that wants to say, no, it should say tefillin noim. He wants to change the gears. Tefillin, so that would refute
what he's trying. Well, everything out there is a singular.
Yeah.
Singular,
right, that's right. So here it's specific. He says tefillah. So, but we talk about tefillah should be tefillin noeh because of the totality of the mitzvah tefillin. But he says the Vilna Gaon doesn't agree with that. Vilna Gaon maintains that according to his girsa that it should be tefillah noeh. That's only referring to the tefillah, and that's a tefillah shavosh, which we back up. But he is trying to say. That's the point. Now, to go further in this, he brings the following situation where we're talking about in the Anagida Mitzvah about a Sefer Torah. To take a look there where I run off the Pneem of the Shulchan Aruch with the Chabur and the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah. So if you take a look, let's see, where's what we have here?
Page
3. You can start out by just saying the Lashon there in the Mechaber, that this is talking about Glilu Sefer Torah. Also, Lecho Sefer Torah Orem Belo Mitpas. Okay. Yeshreim in the Radin Shar Kisri HaKedish. Other Kisri HaKedish. And that takes us to the Torah Kama the Shabbos. Belo Noga came. The Teiv LaHachmeim Lo Natal Yodav. The Sefer Teiv Filu Chai Gav Noasa. The Sefer Teiv, you shouldn't touch it with the bare hand, even if you wash it. You shouldn't do that. Then it says further, Godol Shebe Oisem Shekor B'Teiva. He can do Glila. Glila Loi V'Legilun L'Kneisa B'Domin Yekorin L'Chaviv HaMitzvah. Now, Yesh Eimrim Im HaMe'il. Now here's the point. However, that what Shlomo Kayan is bringing to his Inyan about public manifestation mantle. To emphasize the mantle, the meal. But we see a strange thing about this meal. In the meal, the tzad echad tishkan is just plain linen flax. The tzad echad meshi, which is silk, which is nicer, you know. So, lahape ha meshi, the tzad sefer uli veliglo. You have to turn over that the silk side should be to the side of the sefer, which if you take it in pashas means you don't see it. Where do you see?
Because the person's holding the sacred foot.
Away from the person.
Yes, away from the person. In other words, it's lying, the silk part is lying on the safer.
Right.
The outside would be the what? Would be the piston, if you
right.
say that.
Yes.
Well, you want to be, the silk would be where it's over, where you open that side?
Well, to open, there's nothing there.
I mean
but he says when he puts on the mantle,
yeah.
that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
When he puts the eel,
okay.
If you take it,
the back to the person,
that's
the
right.
The person.
Generally, in those times, in that time of the Gemara and later of Shining, there was only one person did both Hagva and Gleila.
They only gave one.
Yeah, but they only gave one person. That's what generally was. That's why he said, does everything. That's the way he's describing it. But anyhow, he was talking about the meal. He says the most precious or most valuable part of the meal, which is meshi, should be litzad ha-sefer, the legal. However, that's brought from a Mordechai at the end of Megillah, the lo nogu came. Now take a look in the Mishnah Brewer here. Sort of summarizes this here, where he said that we starts out with Tess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tess, saying by Tess, im ha-me'il, hainu, ha-me'il ha-tachton, shehu ha-mapa, il ha-me'il ha-elyon, mekula alma, ein la-hofko. So there must have been a lower, that it might have been that how they tied the Sefer Torah, around, that might have been the what they call,
yeah,
don't they call that wimple?
The wimple.
I want to say the wimple.
There you go.
That might be, that's what it might have been, the wimple. That's what it is. So he said, that's different than that. He's saying...
Maybe talking about the one we use today, common mini, that was when you're laying, you have the cover.
Yeah, in between, you're covered over with a mappa.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here he's talking about in the process of Gleila.
Yes.
There's only one that we know about. There's what we call the mental or the mantle. Gila ha-me'ila elyo mekula alma eila hofko. The tabacho zeh de be'inin l'chatzila lasos dumya di oron. Shohoya mitznim metupa zov. That was covered inside and outside, inside with gold. So v'lo noga came. What does that mean? Here I'm Morgan Avon Cousin called Morgan Khatila, so winter came. Over Bia Agro, Hiskin Lashulchanov, the Ose Dea Elo Iker, Valkane Yesha Kosu, the Val Nefesh Yasa Mapa, Misnates Dodin Bishova. It should be on both sides. They're both silk. The Afsha Pishnim the Emsa, Nami Shoi, Dumia the Oran, Shoi Matupa Zor, Mibais Mechus, the Eight the Emsa. So basically, what he's saying that the main thing is that it should be outside. That's what the Plenum of Villain wants to say. The meshi should be outside. They're visible to the
oil.
That's the thing. That's the hemshah in that particular approach. That's what he's trying to tell us here. So that's that particular point. So now in this whole deen of Zer Keli, the deen of Hidur Mitzvah, there's something else that we've sort of discussing a little bit. Is that a deen of the Raisa or is it a deen of the Rabbana? In other words, we know that there's a famous discussion, it's a basic discussion when we talk about Esrik. It says, 3-8 Hodur. The deen of Hodur there is not a deen in Hidur. The Hidur Mitzvah.
Yes, we learn it's hard.
Yeah, but in the Briscoe language there, the Hidur of the Esrig is in the Hefza of the Mitzvah. It's not an addendum to it. Whereas in all other Mitzvahs, you have the Hefza of the Mitzvah, then you have above ground and Hidur Mitzvah. So that's why there's a Shaila by the other meaning, by the Dalet meaning. By Esrig, we know the Etzem thing, the Hefza is a Hidur. But by others, we try to have, like it says, Lulav Noah. Lulav Noah, the Hidur Mitzvah. The same thing would be with the Hadassim, that Aravos, whatever is the Mahudur. That's what it would be. So is that a deen of the Raisa or not? In other words, does it have although we have a quote, Zeh Keli Mandeyu, have a Drosh in the Mechilta, a Drosh in the Gemara, is it Ma'akev? in a sense of Hida Mitzvah. It's lacking Hida Mitzvah. Maybe it should be Nahake. Who knows?
How can you say that? Because there's a push here. There's no way to measure it.
There's some sense of Hidur, that's the whole idea. Well, there you go into something else. You have the Gemara Baba Kama. I think the first introduction that people have with Hidur Mitzvah, the elementary Gemara students, is like Gemara Baba Kama when it talks about Hidur Mitzvah, Milagav or Milvar. What is that when it's talking about? So it's a shlish. We say you have to spend the shlish.
I never understood that man.
But that's where you come to it. So how do you, you know, if it's a milagav or milavah, in other words, you take a third of what it is worth now and you have to spend a third to make it a hidur, or you have to divide it in half, and another part of that half is a third. The milavah, that's the abaya. And it's a boy of the low ishita. The Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion. The boy of the low ishita. But the question is whether is this a deraisa or the rabbanan, you have to do a hidur or not. So actually there's a whole sugya on the good places to look. I remember looking at it years ago in the Zeh Hemet. There was Zeh Hemet here. Now the Zeh Hemet, besides having both sections, like for example, you want to look up things on Hilchos Gittin, he has a whole huge section under what he calls the Mareches Gimel.
Ravensburg used to speak about this. He says that it's not today. He says the plural of Sunday is Kadosh, not today.
Yeah.
He said there was a lot. He said, I remember distinctly, that when it first came out that there were people who heard
this, that's right.
And that's very critical.
Yeah.
But today's not the proper
Israel. Yeah, right. But still people say the Zeh Hemet.
Yeah, everybody so.
When you start talking about that, you have a lot of problems. Like when they talk about in the Sugi and the Gemara, they say, Esha Mishum Lomeno, Esha Mishum Chita. But it shouldn't be Esha, it should be Isha. In Dictum, it should be Isha. The Madagda Kimber.
Well,
say that.
Well, that first time I heard people learn.
Yeah.
He was over to Hafinami.
That's right. Yeah. Or there's another one that just slid through my mind about what I say. When learning where you say Kivon, but it's really Kavon. Kavon. You know, used to say Kavon amongst the Rashi Yeshiva? Rav Lifshitzal. Suval Karov, when he said the blot, he said Kavon, because he was a Hebrew speaking person. He could speak Ivrit perfectly. That's why I don't know where to know that. So when the yeshiva changed, when the Rashi, the European Rashi yeshiva taught in Yiddish, and that's the way we all heard of it, heard the shiur in the Yiddish, and they couldn't speak English, you know. But when the fellows lost their understanding of Yiddish, so what could a Rosh Yeshiva do? So those that could speak English spoke in English. And like in the yeshiva, the Yosef Ben Soloveitchi went right into English. It was no problem for him. But the others couldn't. And they couldn't speak Ivrit, that fluent, which the fellows already knew. But Avrishitz was able to speak Yiddish in Ivrit. Ivrit, that's right. That's how he did it. It was very, you know, facile with him. It was easy.
He gave one boy in the class, could not speak. He couldn't.
Yeah.
So it was a bechina, and he said, "Don't get much of a shvachi on top. I'm going to tell you a perfect thing."
Yeah.
So he says, "Rova Omar," and he goes on and on and on. Rova had a what do you do on a rubber?
Yeah, well, you have that. But that was an unfortunate time, you know, when they couldn't.
I said it's the only schools where the students learned the language of the teacher rather than the I didn't come from Yiddish speaking, you know. By Yiddish I learned.
Well, they picked up. There was fellows from South America. There was, when I was in Yeshiva, somebody came from Brazil. His name was Yishmoel Cohen. Yishmoel HaCohen. He was a real Sephardi. Generally, he looked like a Sephardi. But he was aristocratic type. And then there were a couple others that came from Argentina. They were from Eastern European descent. Steinmetz, and I remember them. So they had some contact with Yiddish. What? I don't know. I really don't know. But I'm talking about in New York. And
that's what happened from Caracas, Venezuela, those Steinmetz. One that came from the
was,
of English there.
Well, there was Brenner. There was a Brenner. He's a Rav he's still a Rav in Caracas that's studying Yeshiva. Brenner. So they all came. They had some contact with Yiddish, but Yishmoel HaCohen did not. He learned Yiddish. As a Sephardi, he learned the language and he was able to
understand.
He picked it up there. I was once tutoring one of these kids from in those years in the yeshiva that came from South America. So I'm learning the Gemara and I come to the conclusion. He said, "Bad bang." The Gemara said, "No." He said, "The Gemara bright like garbage." I said, "This garbage." All right. So there's a whole actually part of a shir here in Beit Hemed in Mareches Zion. You know, there's several parts. One section does or deals with all the tshuvas, halacha l'maisa. Another one deals with clothing and halacha. There are three volumes that deal with reches clothing. A klal, you have a klal, you want to look up something, it's almost like an encyclopedia Talmudis. You look up a halacha. Here he has an Andrei Kehli de Andreu on Hidu Mitzvah. He has this reches Zion, klal, it's klal yud beis. And he discusses the question, Imu deraisa de rabbanan. Is it deraisa or the rabbanan? So there are some want to say that this is a mitzvah of deraisa. There has to be a mitzvah of deraisa. The question is whether it's ma'akev or not. I mean, because in the Torah, you don't have situations as in contrast to rabbanan. In the rabbanan dinim, you have l'chatchila and you have the eved. In the Raisa, there is no lachatzilo de eved. You have to do the mitzvah, that's it. If you don't do it, that's you don't do it. If not, we don't say, lachatzilo, you should do this in the Raisa. But the eved is going to be kosher the Raisa. It doesn't work that way. That's what's brought out in different places, in Shas and Peshas and other things. So what about this mitzvah, Zekeli v'Anzehu, and this deen of Hidu Mitzvah? So he mentions Achreinim that were mafalpal back and forth, but one of the most significant bekevas that he brings is from a Sechta Sukkah, a Ritvah. Now, in the Ritvah, on the deen by Igud of the Lulav, you know, of tying it a sofa where the Gemara uses the expression, there's a question maybe of Hidu Mitzvah, of tying it, of making the Kesher in the proper way or so forth. It's a getter of Hidu Mitzvah, whether it's boy, as it necessarily means or not. But the Ritvah in there, now remember that the Ritvah in Sukkah, just as a matter of fact, if you take the Chidushei HaRashba, which is on a lot of the Masechtas of Shas, which is basic, a Meforish, and you look on Sukkah, in the editions of the Rashba, on the Chidushim, on Sukkah it says Ritvah. Because it's a known fact in the Yeshiva Shevelt, amongst the Rosh Yeshiva, and those who learned those Paskim and all, that the Rashba on printed, together with all other Chedusha Rashba, the Rashba on Sukkah is the Ritvah. So some places will say Chedusha Ritvah. Like if you look in the collection of Chedusha Ritvah separate, which is separate volumes, because it was the Talmud of the Rashba, you won't find Chedushim on Sukkah. Where are they? In the So if you look there in the Chedushei Rashba, the Ritvah makes a remark where he says the whole thing is that this dean of Hidur Mitzvah, Zekeim Vaveu, he wants to say it's the Rabbanah. It's the dean of the Rabbanah. Though it's an Asmachta from a Pasuk in the Torah, but basically it is the Rabbanah. And that's his language. There is, he says, Mefurish, when it says it's a mitzvah, the Rabbanah, mitzvah the Eigdei, Mishum Zekeim Vaveu, Midrabbanan, Dei Midraisa, Ein Lachalik, Bein Lachatchil, Midraevit. I mean, you can't make any chalukim about that. Because if you had to do it, you didn't do it. If it's a deraisa, it's going to be ma'akev. It's going to be ma'akev. That's the whole point. So, but the Hezbollah says it quite clearly, as sort of to clarify that particular issue. But as long ma'alacha, I'm going back and forth on the Deen of Zekeh. If anybody has any extra time, you go through that. Look, the Zekeh of Yanbeu. On this whole particular Indian of Hidur Mitzvah. I once made a ha'ora. Now, all of the things that we're dealing with in Hidur Mitzvah, you're talking about an object, right? You're talking about a tangible thing. So, for example,
a form.
You're talking about tzitzis, lulav, sefer Torah, tefillin, lulav. I found there's a Rashi Rashbam in the beginning of Perek Avei Psochim. Where it says in Perek Avi Psochem, where it says you're not supposed to eat, you know, Nincha Mincha Lamaila. So there, the Rashi especially says, why shouldn't you eat a certain time? But Rashi said, Mishum Hidur Mitzvah. You know, how do you, in other words, it's something you can't put your finger on. But nevertheless, the terminology of Hidur Mitzvah is used. So I've looked in a lot of the forces to see what they say about that. They don't seem to have any discussion. It's just how all of mine always has bothered me. How do we explain, and with the background of Hidur Mitzvah, when we're talking about things that you see, that you could feel, that you could touch, here it's just a question of anhaga. So in Hanhoga, where do you see it?
But there's a feeling involved.
Well, that's where you have to explain it. That is, in other words, when you're going out of your way to make sure that you're going to eat the matzah later on, the teyovah and everything else, that's part of the hedonism. That's the must be the hedonism. But normally,
why we don't eat matzah all of Erev Pesach?
Well, that's a different reason. Shonando Maisha. There the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says that it's called Ha'echol Matzah Be'er Pesach V'Yudah. Ga'boil Ha'risoso Be'Beis Hanof. He can't wait until the time of the mitzvah, so he does before. He says, that's a special type of getter to hold a person back, but of course it enters in, it's not going to have an appetite later to eat it, but at the same time they don't define it as Hidur Mitzvah, but it's Rashi that says that it's a Hidur Mitzvah in that particular way, which is, as I say, it's a little bit different. It's a takeoff on this Yisnor L'Fon of a Mitzvah. You want to do the Mitzvah properly, you're going to literally hold yourself back from eating anything that is a bread like the something on matzo or so forth. You should eat a little teyovah. Well, that's not a binding minute. Some people don't even look at it. Some already are even will use recognition of matzo even before a week before Pesach or so. The only thing is they try not to have matzahs that are kosher to Pesach. They'll try to have. They'll take chametzik matzahs. They're all year a lot of
times. Well,
yeah, that's right. So it's not. It doesn't go into that particular thing. All right, that's what I have to say about that. And the Gozayin Gezor.
So 2 weeks
in today. 2 weeks. 2 weeks in Yom Tashem. An old question that Rabboni used to say, they have a small crowd, they say, who is the Elam? The answer is, the Elam is here.
I had a theory about the use of the term, the Elam.
You're right.
My when you're counting for a minute, you use the book that was here, it's the same oddhole. And there's only nine people felt the oil. That's
a good book. That's good.
I have not seen it, but I speak of
the
oil
house. That's good. That's good.
No, that's not very
good. I'd say it's good.
I have to put it into a safe.
Now I have to
as one of my literature bay would say, grit slap.
Is Milton coming out with a third volume yet? I mean,
he's still
working. He hasn't gone to the publisher yet.
Oh, no. Colin Batula seems to be very involved.
Very tasty, yes.
Very involved.
Okay.
I hope this surgery goes well.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I want to get this behind me, you know, because I was warned that it shouldn't become in a way that that's right. Depends on his health.
Yeah.
Sometimes it says the old to the young.
Not easy to get over.
Well, that's it.
Do you want to ride now?
Well, that would be good.
Okay.
I have a welcome, I'm going to ask that. Okay.
What do you mean? He doesn't even come to the chair.